So how many of you actually know what Y2K is? Anybody know what Y2K is? All right, now that makes me feel like really, really old, okay? So like Y2K was when the calendar switched from 1999 to 2000. And like all these people thought that like when the computers switched from 99 to 2000, that the world was gonna like fall apart, all the computers in the world were gonna stop working, stoplights were gonna stop working, and everybody was gonna freak out. Now I feel really old because a lot of you, like some of you weren't even born when this happened. How many of you even remember September 11th? We just celebrated that. Do you guys remember that? That is weird. I was in junior high, and like that is something that's like in my mind, September 11th. But in Y2K, there's a lot of different people who had a lot of different responses to what they thought was going to happen. And there's this guy, he's on record. He got solar everything. All of his house, his whole house is powered by solar energy. He got tons of batteries. He had frozen food. And this is the weird part. He had 100 pairs of male and female hamsters, and he had them in cages in his basement. The reason he did this is because he thought that, hey, they reproduce quickly, I will have meat forever. So he thought, hey, this is how I'm going to survive, I'm going to eat hamsters. Okay, so this guy had a really weird response to it. And there's some people who had an opposite reaction to it. There's some people, there's this guy, he went on record, he had a New Year's party. He had a bunch of people over to his house, and they were having a good time. Nobody was really thinking too much about it, but about 30 seconds before midnight, he went downstairs, and upstairs he could hear everybody counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, happy. And they're going to say New Year, but when they did that, he turned all the power out in his whole house. He turned the circuit breaker off. So everybody was super happy, but upstairs people started freaking out. I mean, they started like looting his house, taking his stuff, and they left outside, and finally they went outside and saw lights on. And then everyone was mad at this guy because they thought Y2K was real. So people had different reactions. Some people thought it was a joke. Some people took it really, really seriously. And I feel really old because I remember it. I was 12. I was in Virginia, and I was watching the news at my aunt and uncle's house to see what would happen. But some people make all kinds of different things and respond to all kinds of different things, stresses in their life, very differently. And this morning, we're going to be looking at a biblical response to worry. If you see your handout, hopefully we'll come to the conclusion together that worry is a waste. So let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer as we start looking at this together. Father, we come to you, and we just pray that you give us wisdom, that you'd help us to respond to your word in a way that pleases you, that you'd help us to obey, that you'd give us a submissive heart, that we would love you with everything that we are. And I pray that you'd give us a good time of worship this morning in Christ's name. Amen. So dictionary definition of worry is: give way to anxiety or unease. Allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. So this is like a worldly definition, but we can kind of take some application to this because we can so easily focus on everything that's like going wrong in our lives, right? And we can worry about them, and we can let it affect the way that we live. So let's kind of take it from a biblical standpoint. I did a lot of study, and if you kind of boil it down, biblical definition of worry is to worry is a concern about that which you can do nothing. So you can do nothing about. There are certain things that we can control, but also certain things that we can't. And we're going to kind of explore this together a little bit. So it's a concern about what might happen in the future, and that's going to affect how we live right now, how we obey God, how we serve him, how we live it out. So have you guys ever had like that sick feeling in your stomach because you're like worried about something, and you like can't do anything else, you can't think about anything else because you are worried about it? So it can affect our everyday life. Now, does the Bible teach that we're to be people who just like don't care? Like some of you guys are like really, really, really laid back. And a lot of things in your life you're like, whatever, man, that's fine. But like the Bible teaches that we're supposed to take responsibility. So we're to be concerned about certain things, but I think the better word for it is responsibility. So principle number one that I want us to see this morning is that we're to replace worry with responsibility. Philippians 2:20, Paul is talking about his friend Timothy, and he says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care or show concern for your state." So, like, he was commending Timothy because he cared about people. He was going out of his way. He wanted to see them grow, and he was showing concern for other people. So that's a responsibility that we're to have. And in Proverbs 22:3, it says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." So a prudent man, a wise man, sees things that could potentially happen in the future, and he takes action. So like for me and for you coming up in a couple years, that would be like something like retirement. I know that someday I'm not going to be able to work. It would be wise for me to start saving. it would not be wise for me, like a simple man, to just spend all my money right here, right now, and not think about it, and not care about what's in the future. But should I be crippled right now at 27 years old in my everyday life in service for God because I'm so worried about my retirement? No. So that's kind of a practical, everyday thing. So it's not wrong to prayerfully plan for the future. We are to think ahead. So there are certain things that God has told us to be concerned about, but not to worry about them. Some examples. Our relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to seek his face. Our roles as parent, daughter, son, mother, child, we have certain responsibilities we're supposed to fulfill. Our jobs, providing for our families. So does being irresponsible with what God has given us show that you have, like, that you're spiritual? Let me kind of explain that. Some people might say, hey, you know what? God promises to plan to provide for me, so, like, I'm not going to get a job. I'm not going to work. God's going to take care of me. He's going to give me food. That's what the church is for, right? But God also says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So you're supposed to show responsibility in working and trying to provide for yourself. So how many of you have a test, like, coming up this week? Okay. So most of you have testing, at least probably a quiz. Mr. Barfield has a test coming up. Great. I'm so glad I'm done with school. But not to rub it in at all. So I don't have any tests coming up this week. But for you guys, would it be wise for you to, like, not study? You know, if God wants me to fail, I'm going to fail. If he wants me to pass, I'm going to pass. Obviously, you are not fulfilling your responsibility of doing your best. But also, would it be wrong for you to, like, stay up all night till 4 in the morning and, like, freaking out and, like, study all night and worry about that? It's kind of like that DirecTV commercial. So, like, you could be thinking, we always go to the worst case scenario. If I don't get an A on my test, I'm going to get stressed. If I get stressed, I've got to go on an exotic vacation. If I go on an exotic vacation, I'm going to get bit by an exotic bug. If I bit by an exotic bug, I'm going to swell up. If I swell up, I got to go to the hospital and I miss my flight. If I miss my flight, I'm going to become a fisherman that they call Big Fatty Face, right? Don't be called Big Fatty Face. For you, it's like, don't fail my test. And you, like, freak out about all these worst case scenarios that could happen, and that changes, like, your whole life. That everything is terrible because, hey, this one thing might happen. So we can't go down those worst case scenarios, but in a lot of our heads, somewhere along the line between, like, worry and responsibility gets kind of blurred. And we start to try to take control of every different situation. So we may even brag about the fact that, like, hey, I'm a really responsible person. I put a lot of work in. I'm in control. I've got all these things together. And we can take, like, we become prideful about that. And really, we've taken it too far, and now we're just nothing more than a control freak. So we can have one of two reactions to this thing, to not care or to, like, try to take control of every situation. Now, for me personally, this is kind of where I struggle. Like, I'm a perfectionist. I want to do everything perfectly. So, like, I want to take everything into my hands. So, like, example of that, I have tried to plan for the future. Jessica and I have sat down, and we've created a budget. So I'm trying to think through how can I best save, and I advise you guys to do the same when you have your own money. But, like, I can get to the point sometimes where I'm like, Jessica, we went over the gas budget by 32 cents. I mean, we're in trouble. We got to be really, really careful. And I, like, start to freak out because I didn't follow the plan perfectly. And really, I'm doing nothing but except not trusting God, and I'm freaking out because I want to be in control. So worry, guys, is not a respectable sin. Worry is not acceptable. Worry is sin. God tells us, do not do it. He says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then in Matthew 6, we're going to take a look at this passage. It says, take no thought, or do not worry, three different times. So this is a command from God that we are not to worry. We're commanded not to do it. And principle number two is, we're to replace worry with trust, because God will provide for our needs. Replace worry with trust. God's going to provide for you. So Jesus explains in Matthew 6, and he gives us reasons that we should not worry. So let's look at those together. First of all, we're commanded not to do it. Matthew 6:25, be careful for nothing, take no thought for anything, and we're going to go through this passage. So what are the most basic things that, like, people need to live? What's basic things people need to live? Football, yes. We need football. No. Food, water, we need clothes. What are some other, like, foundational things? Shelter. We need shelter. So, like, Jesus is taking, like, the most basic things that we all need, and he uses these as an example in this passage. So he's talking about food and clothes, and basically says, don't worry about your food or your clothes. Life is about more than your food or your clothes. But then he uses the birds as an illustration. He says, if God feeds the birds of the air, and they're not eternal, you are eternal, God's going to feed you. Don't worry about that. So looking around at all of us, looking at what we're wearing, looking at our health, I would say that none of us are, like, lying awake at night, like, freaking out about where our next meal is going to come from. Like, most of us just don't worry about that. I mean, we live in a pretty wealthy society. We have everything taken care of. We have clothes. It's like, what's the application for us? What do we need to be concerned about? What you worry about really reveals what's in your heart, really reveals what you worship. So this morning, when you think about your life, what really causes you to get fearful? What really causes you to worry? What causes you to be afraid? Because all those things reveal what is the biggest concern in your heart. Are you concerned about people who are lost and going to hell every day? Does that worry and concern you? Or are you more concerned about, like, getting an A plus on every test? Because what you've just done is you've made your grades a god. So Jesus here, he's using the examples of food and clothes because that's what we need. But when we worry, we are worrying about what we think that we absolutely need to live. So what is that for you this morning? Do you worry that you'll never get married? Has, like, marriage in the future become a god for you? Are you worried that, like, you'll never find a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Has that become a god for you? What are you worried about? Principle number two under this is Jesus says that worrying is a waste of time. In Matthew 6:27, he says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Like, hey, you can't change your height. You can't worry about it. This is out of your control. So our Heavenly Father, he knows what we need. And this is a pretty straightforward, practical application for us. He says, guys, you can't change things that are out of your control by worrying about them. So those of you here in the Fantasy Football League, don't freak out today about your fantasy team. Pretty stupid example, but, like, it's out of your control. Like, it's fun, but don't let that, like, control you. And plus, my team's going to squash your team anyway, okay? So I'm going to beat everybody. So don't worry about it, okay? It's out of your control. But number three, the reason that we're not supposed to worry is this. Worrying is an evidence of little faith. Matthew 6:30 says, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So he's saying, hey, God cares about things that are going to die, that aren't eternal. You are eternal. God's going to take care of you. God's going to meet all of your needs. So worry is the opposite of trust. If you're worrying about everything that comes into your life and you are fearful, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We can think through those things because our God is a trustworthy God. So if I lend money to somebody who I, like, really trust, I'm not going to be freaking out that they're going to give me the money back, right? But if I lend my money to one of those guys on the side of the road that has the cardboard sign that says, I need money for drugs and alcohol, do you think I'm going to be worried about getting my money back? I'm not expecting to. I mean, like, I'm giving to somebody I don't trust. So that illustration, how do we view God? Like, if we give him our concerns, do we really trust him to take care of us? Or are we kind of viewing him as, like, a God that's not really worthy to be trusted because he's got better things to do, he's got his own things going on, and he doesn't care about us? Because God says, we're eternal, he's going to clothe us, trust in him. He says, if you don't trust in him, you have little faith. So are you trusting your Heavenly Father to meet all your needs? Because, guys, he gives good things. Reason number four. Well, let's read this verse and apply this to what we just talked about. Excuse me, I skipped this verse. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks you bread, will give him a stone? So I'm not, as Colton's dad, he's like, hey, can I have bread? I'm not going to put a rock on his plate, right? I mean, I'm just not going to do that. I love him. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask of him? So again, this goes back to our view of God. Like, do you view God as a good God? That he's going to give you what you need. Number four, reason that Jesus gives is that worrying is a bad testimony. He says this in Matthew 7:32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Matthew 6:32. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. So he's saying, hey, Gentiles seek after all these things. That's what they live for. That's all they think about. They're not thinking about eternity. They're the simple, and they're just passing on. And our Heavenly Father knows what we need, so why do we worry? We deny that our God knows everything that we need. We deny that our God is all-knowing. So what do you think the world thinks when they see us acting that way? They're like, hey, they are freaking out about everything, but they say their God is a good God. They say their God is going to take care of them, but like, that's not what I see them really believing. So to illustrate this, let's say that I think my wife's cooking is really good, right? I love my wife's cooking. There's probably been like one meal in our whole marriage that we've both been like, you know, let's not have that again. And she agreed. That was like when we first got married. But everything else has been great. I love it. So let's say that you and I are like hanging out during the day. Like yesterday at Harvest Rally, I tell you guys, hey, my wife's cooking is great. I'm excited. I'm pumped. Because when I go home, my wife is making me this meal that I'm going to absolutely love. It's my favorite meal. So I'm talking about this all day. And then as we drive home, we're on the same path home. And you see me pull into McDonald's. And then you follow me and you're like, Pastor Brandon, I mean, you've been talking all day about your wife's cooking and how good it is, how excited you are about eating it. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's what she told me. She said it was going to be good, but I'm not really certain, so I'm going to take care of my dinner for myself. I'm going to take care of this on my own. McDonald's is better than my wife's cooking. How do you think? So then the next day you come back, I see again, and I'm like talking again about how great my wife's cooking is, and you're like, I don't think so, man. You don't even believe that. So then I invite you over to the house, and you're like a little skeptical about my wife's cooking. You're not that excited about the meal because you're like, you don't even like want to eat your wife's cooking. But we do that so often, like in our spiritual lives, right? Like we tell the world, hey, our God is good. He's loving. He's kind. But then we go out and we try to take care of things ourselves. And we are worried and we're scared and we're fearful and we are not trusting God. And that sounds like a stupid illustration because it is, but we do the same thing all the time. So when we invite people to come to Christ, they're like, dude, like, I'm not even sure you believe what you're telling me. I mean, the way you're living, you're just seeking after things just like me. You're telling me your God is not enough. Number five reason that Jesus gives us is this, that worrying isn't necessary. Very well-known verse, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things that you're worried about, that you're freaking out about, they'll be added unto you. He's going to meet all of your needs. Your food and your clothes, he's going to give them to you. So this is when God points us back to our responsibility. And we've been talking about this in youth group a lot. Life is not about you. Don't focus all your efforts on what is best for you. Your focus should be getting to know God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Number six, we've got to move on quickly. Worrying limits our service in the present. Matthew 6:34, and this is all from one passage, says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take the thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So each day, guys, is going to bring difficulties, and like if you're worried and freaking out about what's going to happen tomorrow, you're going to miss opportunities right now to serve. That's what Jesus is saying here. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today has got enough going on. Serve me and love me right now. So Proverbs 12:25, you don't have this verse in your handout, says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. So this morning, is your worry weighing you down? To like, hey, I can't move forward in my service for the Lord because I'm worried about everything. And I'm scared, I'm fearful, and we are not showing that we really trust God. Now, we're going to have to go fast through this. So how do we responsibly deal with our concerns without worrying? Principle number three, we're to replace worry with prayer. Because God will provide peace. Replace worry with prayer. So in Philippians 4, he's giving us all these things about how we're supposed to deal with anxiety. And he says in verse 4, we are to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So focus on who God is. And a biblical view of problems is going to come back to God. He's good. He's loving. He's kind. And it circles back to trust. He's sovereign. He's in control. He's not going to let anything in your life that you can't handle. Number two, we're to endure in verse 5. Let your moderation, your endurance, going through hard things be known unto all men because the Lord's at hand. So guys, the motivation for why we're not worried is we know what's going to happen. God's coming back. Jesus is coming back. He's going to erase all the things that are hard in our lives. All the wrongs have been done to us. Don't worry about them. God's going to take care of them. Number three, we're to pray. Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. So we're to replace that worry, that anxiety with prayer. So God wants to take our burdens from us. And cast your care on him, for he careth for you. So Colton is two. He's starting to get scared about things. And so, like, how many of you were at the Jamboree when the Chick-fil-A cow was there? Like, my son was freaked out by the Chick-fil-A cow, okay? Like, I think he thought it was a stuffed animal that had come to life. Okay, so, like, when we got home, it was the most fearful I've ever seen him. As soon as we walked in the door, he grabbed my hand, and he was saying, Colton, cow get. He thought the cow was going to get him. So he made me walk through every single room of the house and show him that the cow wasn't there. So at 3 o'clock that morning, Colton woke up screaming. So I go into the room, and he's freaking out, and he thinks his stuffed animal's on his bed. He's like, animals get Colton. I'm like, no, buddy, animals aren't going to get you. And so as he's there, like, he brushes up against the stuffed animal, and he jumps 3 feet because he's so fearful of it. He thought it came to life and touched him. So what I did, I think the stuffed animal is Winnie the Pooh. So what I did, I took Winnie the Pooh, and I bashed his head against the railing, right? What was I trying to show Colton? I'm here. Daddy's got it. I have more power than this stupid stuffed animal. Winnie the Pooh can't hurt you. But that's a good illustration for us, because we need to trust that our Father has got it under control. Nothing's going to hurt him. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be afraid. God has victory over all that, and he's coming back. So, like, we need to trust God. And very quickly, to close it up, Philippians 4:7, the result of this is that in the peace of God which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We will experience peace. That's how we get peace. If you're nervous about something, if you're anxious, give it to God. Know he's in control. Know he's got the power over all things. So guys, God will keep your heart and guard your heart about all these things that you're worried and fearful of. So let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we come to you, and we are thankful that you are a God that's powerful, that you are a God that's in control. And Lord, we thank you that you care so much for us, and you promise to take care of us, that you'll meet all of our needs. Lord, we know that sometimes we get so sidetracked by things of this earth, the things that do make us fearful and afraid. But Lord, you do tell us that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Lord, I pray that this week you'd help us to walk in that sound mind, that we would live in truth, that we'd live in the truth of who you are. I pray that you just help us to serve you and love you, and that we not let the things of tomorrow distract us from what you have for us today. In Christ's name, amen. All right, thanks, guys. If the guys can help put away the chairs.